Good evening. Welcome to the Lynnwood URC evening service for May 10. Let's begin with our opening prayer. Let's pray together. Our Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have made and this opportunity that we have to be reminded of who we are as your people and as we look forward to the day when your Son Jesus returns on the clouds of glory. We do thank you, Lord, that we can be pilgrims, that we can be on a journey to the land that is to come, to that heavenly Jerusalem, to that land of rest that you promised to the patriarchs all those years ago. And as we read your word today, we do pray that it would be impressed upon our hearts, that it would be sealed upon our hearts by your Spirit. Help us to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth, and may your name be glorified as we and your people sing your praises and give you the glory that you deserve. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For our first scripture reading for this evening, I'd like you to join me in reading from Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, we're going to be reading verses 33 down to verse 37. Matthew chapter 12, we're going to be reading at verse 33 to verse 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit is good, or make the tree bad and its fruit is bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of the good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you the truth, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And this evening we're going to be looking at the day of judgment, the return of Jesus Christ to judge the living and the dead. So let's sing our opening song. It's going to be from 387. Day of Judgment, a Day of Wonders, 387. We're going to be using the alternate tune, which is the familiar tune to most of us from 378. So number 387, Day of Judgment, Day of Wonders.
Day of judgment, day of wonders, hark the trumpets all full sound, louder than a thousand thunders, shakes the vast creation round. Have the silence, will the sinner's heart confound. See the judge our nature rearing, clothed in majesty divine. You who long for his appearing, then shall say, this God is mine. Hush, Savior, hold me in that day as thine. As his Father dead awakens, rise to life from earth and sea. All the powers of nature shaken by his looks prepared to flee. Careless sinner, what will then become of thee? But to those who have confessed, loved and served the Lord below, he will say, come near ye blessed, see the kingdom I bestow.
Let's turn together for our text. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. We'll also be looking at Belgic Confession article 37. We're bringing to a conclusion our series through the Belgic Confession this evening. We're going to be looking at the last article of the Belgic Confession, which is on the return of Jesus Christ to judge the living and the dead. So Luke chapter 21, and then we'll be reading from the Belgic Confession as well. Let's start with reading then from Luke chapter 21, reading from verse 25 through verse 28. And there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And as far as reading in the Gospel of Luke, then I invite you to turn with me in the back of your songbooks, where you're reading from the Belgic Confession. This is Article 37, Belgic Confession, Article 37, entitled The Last Judgment. We're not going to read the entire article, just the opening section here, and then the last part. Belgic Confession, Article 37, finally we believe, according to God's word, that when the time appointed by the Lord is come, which is unknown to all creatures, and the number of the elect is complete, that our Lord Jesus Christ will come from heaven, bodily and visibly, as he ascended, with great glory and majesty, to declare himself the judge of the living and the dead. He will burn this old world in fire and flame in order to cleanse it. Then all human creatures will appear in person before the great judge. Men, women, and children, who have lived from the beginning until the end of the world, they will be summoned there by the voice of the archangel and by the sound of the divine trumpet. And then, this is on the bottom of page 871. The evil ones will be convicted by the witness of their own consciences and shall be made immortal, but only to be tormented in the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In contrast, the faithful and elect will be crowned with glory and honor. The Son of God will confess their names before God his Father and the holy and elect angels. All tears will be wiped from their eyes, and their cause, at present condemned as heretical and evil by many judges and civil officers, will be acknowledged as the cause of the Son of God. And as a gracious reward, the Lord will make them possess a glory such as the heart of man could never imagine. So we look forward to that great day with longing in order to enjoy fully the promises of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what does the future hold? If you were to know the future, would that change your actions today? If you were to think back a few months ago, looking at the first week of March, if you were back in that position, knowing what the next 2 months would contain, what the next 2 months would be like with this quarantine and lockdown, would you act differently? Would you behave differently? Well, we can't go back in time, but we as Christians do know what the future holds. And since we know what the future holds, we can be prepared for it. Today we are bringing our Belgic Confession series to a conclusion, and we are going to be looking at the coming of the Son of God on the clouds of glory. As we saw earlier as in our text in Luke chapter 21, the coming, the return of Jesus Christ, will be unlike anything that creation has seen. We're going to consider this theme that Jesus Christ reveals the manner of his coming for the comfort of his people. In our first point, we are going to be looking then at the signs of his arrival, the signs of his arrival that will accompany his return. Earlier in chapter 21, you will remember as a congregation, we looked at various signs, various wonders that would be made evident in the world. There would be wars and rumors of wars. There would be famines and conflicts and hurricanes and distress and sicknesses. And all these things were part of telltale signs that we are living in the age of the Spirit. The end age is upon us. Now, these events could not or are not supposed to be used to determine the specific time that Jesus will return, just to remind us that Jesus must return, that we're living in a time and an age and a world that is crying out for Jesus to come back. So these events are not supposed to give us a definite time stamp telling us of when Jesus will return. However, when Jesus does return, there will be specific signs that are unique. There will be specific wonders that are linked to that specific event. These signs directly accompany his arrival. So today we are not looking at the signs, the wars and rumors of wars that are a part of living in this age. We're going to be looking at specifically the signs that are connected to the return of Jesus Christ. And that's what we find here in verses 25 and following. Belgian Confession Article 37 puts it this way. The timing of Jesus' return is unknown by creatures. It's being known only by God. Jesus says that his return will be like a thief in the night. It's unknown to creatures when he will specifically return. However, when he does return, it will be a glorious return. Our Belgian Confession says that the clouds which hid him when he went up into glory will part, and he will return on the clouds of glory with great majesty and power. As his body was taken up, as he ascended into glory and was hidden by clouds, his body will visibly come back, and the clouds will part to reveal our Lord. Our text says, as we begin in verse 25, that there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars and on the earth, distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. So verse 25 says that there's going to be signs in the heavens. There's going to be signs with the moon and the sun. There's going to be signs in the sky. There's going to also be signs on the earth below and the waves and in the rocking, in the shaking of the earth. We could call this an inclusion. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is where you are living, whether the sun is out or the moon is out, whether it's day or night, there will be a sign that will be made evident in the heavens that Jesus Christ is coming back. It will be very plain, very evident to all people that Christ is coming back, that something new, something different, something radically is being altered and changed in this world. It's also in the earth, in the firm soil, and also in the seas. So it doesn't matter if you're in the ship or if you're in an airplane in the air or if you're standing on solid ground, the entire world is going to shake. It's going to give birth, if you will, to something radically different because Jesus Christ has come back. His return will be evident in the light and the darkness by looking up or looking down. Wherever you are and whatever you are doing at that specific moment, his coming will be seen, will be evidenced. No one can say, I didn't know Jesus Christ had returned. Added to this, the very people of the earth are going to respond. There's going to be distress, our verse says, verse 25. There's going to be distress, perplexity. There's going to be confusion and concern. All mankind is going to say, oh, what's going on here? There's something radically different. I've never seen something like this before. What is happening? I've never seen the world act this way before. Whereas in our current age, we know if there's wars, rumors of wars, famines, and earthquakes, this is going to be something radically different, totally different. It's going to be a whole other scale. Verse 26 puts it this way, the ground is going to be rocked and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Revelation chapter 6 says the stars will fall from the sky, the moon will cease to give its light. Isaiah 13 says the sun will be struck. So when you put all these various components together, the day that Jesus Christ comes back, there's going to be a radical altering of the current world order. It will be the end of the world. The lights that give us light in the day and at night will cease to give their light because the true light, the light of the world, will have come. And all these other heavenly bodies will cease, will fade, will flee at the presence of the Lord of glory. You remember what happened to children when the Lord God came down to the top of Mount Sinai. You remember Moses was going up to meet the Lord and to speak to him. And you remember what happened to Mount Sinai? You remember how it was shaking and trembling? It was like the whole mountain was quaking. Rocks were being blown apart. There was a violent wind. There was lightning flashing back and forth. There was fire breaking out all over on this mountain. Well, what happened at Mount Sinai is going to happen across the entire world. It's going to be a cataclysmic event, unlike anything that you and I had ever seen. It's going to be a visible event and an audible event. Verse 27 says we will see him coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So it's something we'll be able to attest to with our senses, with our eyes, but it's also something we will hear. We'll hear the voice of the archangel. The trumpet of God will be sounded, as 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16 states. And then we will see it, or then we will see him. We will see that which is currently not visible to the eye. Currently, there is a veil, a separation between heaven and earth. There's a division, a barrier that blocks us from being able to look up and to see the dwelling place of the Almighty God. But when Jesus Christ comes back, that veil, that barrier is going to be ripped asunder, torn in two. And we will be able to see with our eyes what we now perceive only with our hearts of faith. Currently, we live by faith, not by sight. But then we will see him. Then we will be able to see the Lord of glory, the King of Kings, coming with his hosts of angels and the saints who have gone before. Now, children, let me ask you a question. If you know that your grandma and grandpa are coming over next week, now perhaps you've missed seeing your grandma and grandpa over the past few weeks, and your mom and dad say, hey, little ones, children, do you know grandma and grandpa? They're coming over next week, and they're coming over with presents. They're coming to spend time with you, to fellowship with you. How would you react, children, knowing that your grandparents are coming? You'd probably be filled with great excitement, with an eager expectation. You'd have your noses pressed up against the window. You'd be looking outside. I can't wait until Grandma and Grandpa arrive. This excitement that fills you with eagerness. Well, we should have the same excitement, the eagerness to see our Lord and Savior. Now, some of these descriptive things that we've here used to describe in our text, uses to describe the return of Jesus Christ, it might sound scary. You're talking about earthquakes and tsunamis and fire and lightning and all these things going on around us and in creation, that the old is passing away and the new is coming. These might sound scary to you because they are spectacular. They are earth-moving events. But as God's people, we need not be filled with fear when we think of Christ coming back. Maybe, if I can put it in a comparison, it would be like watching a tornado from a safe distance. Seeing a tornado in all its power and beauty in its own right fills you with wonder at God's power. You're not afraid because you know it's not going to hurt you. It's not going to affect your life. It's not going to take your life. It's not going to destroy your home. You see it at a distance, if you will. Perhaps that's a way of looking at this event. When we see these events going around us in creation on the day Jesus Christ comes back, our focus is not going to be on what's going on in this world. Our focus is going to be on seeing our Savior's face, seeing the face of Jesus Christ, who is more comforting, more loving. He's closer to us than our closest friend, closer than even our grandma and grandpa. And looking at him, your heart will be filled with great joy and wonder at that event. Well, now that we've considered the signs and wonders that will accompany the return of Jesus Christ, in our next point, we're going to look at very briefly what Jesus Christ is going to do. What is he going to do when he comes back? Well, in 2 Peter, we find that when Jesus comes back, the heavens, what you see, the starry sky, the heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be burned up and dissolved. This world is going to be purified by fire. The first thing Jesus is going to do when he comes back is purify this world. He's going to gather up his people. 1 Thessalonians 4 says his people will meet him up in the air, and this world is going to be cleansed by fire. All the works that have been performed by men will be tested and tried. The heavenly city will then come down. Jesus Christ will bring down that heavenly Jerusalem, Revelation 21 says, and the new heavens and the new earth will be rebuilt by Jesus Christ. The first thing that Jesus Christ will do when he comes back, he's going to bring about a new world order. The old will go. The old will pass. The old earth will give birth to a new earth. The new will have come. But what will Jesus do with mankind? Well, Jesus Christ will come back as judge. We read that earlier from Belgic Confession 37 and from Matthew chapter 12. He will return to judge the living and the dead. Everyone will need to give an account for every word they said and every deed they did, each appearing before the white throne upon which Jesus Christ will be sitting. Belgic Confession 37 says, all humans will be summoned before him and will be judged according to their deeds. So everyone is going to be placed before Jesus Christ. He's going to open the scrolls. He's going to look at their lives, and he's going to judge them, and he's going to determine if their life is in keeping with their profession. Now, we need to be very clear. We are not saying that our eternal state, our justification, is based on our works. But he is going to reward the righteous, and he's going to condemn the wicked. So we are justified by faith. Christ produces faith in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We're made right with God, a justification, just as if I had never sinned, just as if I had been as perfectly righteous as Christ was for me. Justification by faith, absolutely. But there is a judgment that will take place on that day, and those who professed to belong to Jesus Christ must be able to display in their lives that they are consistently living by faith. So after Jesus brings all mankind before his white throne, he judges them, he's going to separate them, he's going to put the goats on the left, and he's going to put the sheep on the right. To the goats, he's going to say, to the wicked who had rebelled against him, who had denied him, who had rejected his rule as king, he will say to the goats, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. He's going to cast them out into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They'll be led away into darkness, where they'll suffer for all eternity. But to those who are on his right, on Jesus' right, to his sheep, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servants. Come into the rest that I have promised, that my Father has promised you. Our article says it this way: the Lord will graciously reward his people, and he will make them to possess a great glory. They'll be crowned with glory and honor. In the bodies will be raised. They will be not only justified, but completely glorified. We'll be given new bodies in which to dwell with Christ for all eternity. We will be justified in the sense of our cause will be vindicated. Although we may be despised, we may be mistreated in this world, when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to use our works as a proof to justify our claim. He's going to show the world that these people are truly my people, and I love them. And he will make this evident, publicly displaying, will be vindicated before the watching world. It is interesting how many people prepare for the future and the great lengths that people will go to in order to make preparations for the future. Many people invest and save for the future. There's nothing wrong with investing and saving for the future. We should be doing that, but few people actually plan and prepare for eternity. A lot of people are preparing for their retirement years, but very few people are thinking about what goes beyond, what goes after retirement. We know, as God's people, we know what the future holds. We know the future is coming. So we, as God's people, must be prepared for it, living by faith and obedience. Well, as we come to our final point, we find the comfort that we have as God's people and when we can have a great confidence knowing that Christ will come back and that our cause will be vindicated. And our last point, we're going to look at the comfort that we have when Christ returns. Our text starts in chapter 21, verse 26, that says this: "People will be fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world because heaven's going to be shaken." People will be filled with fear. It says fainting, foreboding. They'll be so scared, they're going to cry out. They're going to try to find some way to hide from the presence of the Almighty God. They'll try to go into caverns and caves, any way to get away from the Almighty presence of Christ, the triumphant King. But there will be no source. There'll be no hope for them. They will have no way to escape from the coming King. They'll be filled with fear and dread, but not so the righteous. A Belgian confession says that even the very thought, considering the return of Jesus Christ, is a most pleasant thought. It's a comforting thing. Knowing that Jesus Christ is coming back, that we already love Jesus, we already know Jesus, He already knows us, that we have a relationship with Him, it fills our hearts with comfort and peace, and therefore we can look forward to that day with eager longing and great expectation. So we are, as God's people, are called to look forward to that day. Our text puts it this way: "Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Straighten up and raise your heads. That means when a person is filled with fear and dread, that you're usually downcast. They're burdened, their shoulders are slumped, they're looking at the ground, they can't bear to lift up their heads, they're kind of crushed under the weight of the burdens. But here Luke is saying, when you know that Christ is coming back, and when you see the signs of Christ coming back, stand up straight and look with expectation to the coming Lord. We can have a confidence and a hope of knowing, standing firm in the knowledge that Christ is King and has won the complete victory. There is a posture of confidence and hope, standing firm in the knowledge that Christ is King and looking up because we know that He is coming and He will arrive soon. We're not caught off guard. We don't shrink back in fear because we are already now waiting. We are not like those who are caught sleeping when the thief breaks in, but we are awake and we're ready for Christ to come back. That's the posture of God's people. We're ready and we're looking up. Now, that doesn't mean we need to spend all day looking at the sky, but it's a posture of confidence and hope, knowing that Christ will come back soon, not filled with fear, but filled with joy. Children, have you ever been disappointed? I imagine that you have. We've all been disappointed when we expect something great and it doesn't end up happening. Our plans fail. Perhaps the event that was scheduled is canceled. Disappointment is a hard thing to deal with. It's hard to get over it. But I can tell you, I can promise you that you will not be disappointed when Jesus Christ comes back. There will be no disappointment on the faces of God's people in this great event. He promised to come back, to return, to take us with Him, to be with Him for all eternity. He's promised blessings and glory and honor and eternal life. And these are the things that we expect, and we will not be disappointed. Therefore, we can have a posture of hope and confidence. The blessings that we'll experience are greater even than our minds can fathom or comprehend. Knowing that this is the future, that this future is certain, strengthens us from getting discouraged, strengthens us from being bowed down and bent and sunken and crushed under the heavy burdens of this world. We stand up straight and we look on high because we have the comfort of knowing that Jesus Christ has conquered and He will return soon. To conclude, the book of Revelation ends with a wonderful refrain. It's Maranatha, meaning "Come, Lord Jesus." To us, Jesus says, "Surely I am coming soon. So the Spirit and the bride say together, come. Jesus Christ reveals the manner of his coming for the comfort of his people, knowing what the future holds. Let us be prepared. Stand up straight and lift up your head as you remember this promise. Your redemption is drawing near. Amen. Let's pray. Our Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this stirring reminder that Christ is coming back, and we look forward to that day with eager expectation. Help us to stand up straight. May we be looking forward to this event with hope and confidence. Keep us patient, O Lord, and keep us faithful, and we look forward to seeing our Savior's face. May we be prepared for this day. May we be living lives of faith and obedience. And when we see Christ coming back, let us not shrink. Let us not fall back in fear, but let us look up with joy and expectation, because we already know this one who has been judged in our place, who has been condemned in our stead, so that he is now coming with victory, with redemption for us as his people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say the words of the Apostles' Creed together.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And for our doxology, let's sing Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Well, thank you for joining us this evening. We pray for God's blessing on you and your family in this week to come, and go in God's grace.